Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The king replied, "My dear Brahman, whatever you have said, I have heard with great attention, and considering all of it, have come to the conclusion that the acharyas who engaged me in fruitive activity did not know this confidential knowledge. If they were aware of it, why did they not explain it to me?" Purport. Actually, the so-called teachers or leaders of material society do not really know the goal of life. They are described in Bhagavad Gita as Maya Apahrita Jnana. They appear to be very learned scholars, but actually the influence of illusory energy has taken away their knowledge. Real knowledge means searching out Krishna. Sarvasachaham hridisan nivishtam matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedeshya sarvai rahameva vedya vedanta krit veda videva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. All Vedic knowledge is meant for searching out Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of everything. Janmadyasya yataha. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Name vidus suragana prabhom namaharshaya, aham madirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvasha." Neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. Krishna is the origin and beginning of all demigods, including Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and all others. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are concerned with satisfying different demigods, but unless one is very advanced, he cannot understand that the original personality is Sri Krishna. Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. After hearing the instructions of Narada, King Barhishman came to his senses. The real goal of life is to attain, therefore, is to attain devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The king therefore decided to reject the so-called priestly orders that simply engage their followers in the ritualistic ceremonies without giving effective instructions about the goal of life. At the present moment, the churches, temples and mosques all over the world are not attracting people, because foolish priests cannot elevate their followers to the platform of knowledge. Not being aware of the real goal of life, they simply keep their congregation in ignorance. Consequently, those who are well educated have become uninterested in the ritualistic ceremonies. At the same time, they are not benefited with real knowledge. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore very important for the enlightenment of all classes. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Barhishman, everyone should take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement and abandon the stereotyped ritualistic ceremonies that go under the garb of so many religions. The Goswamis, from the very beginning, differed from the priestly class that was engaged in ritualistic ceremonies. Srila Sanatan Goswami compiled his Haribhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas, not caring for the lifeless activities of the priestly classes, take to full Krishna consciousness and become perfect in this very life. That is described in the previous verse as Paramahamsa Sharanam, taking shelter of the Paramahamsa, the liberated soul, and becoming successful in this life. The Vaishnavas, not caring for the lifeless activities of the priestly classes, take to full Krishna consciousness and become perfect in this very life. So seeking the blessings of Radhanath Prabhu and all the other Vaishnavas. So now, King Prachini Barahishad is asking a very pertinent question after the entire allegorical narration has been described. Prachini Barahishad's doubt is that it is not that I did not have any gurus, teachers, guides before I met you, Srila Narad Muni. But how is it that none of these other people, none of these other so-called gurus, teachers, educationists, guides, priests, ever told me about full surrender to Krishna, about giving up all varieties of religion and taking shelter of Krishna? I spent so many years in this education system, Srila Narad Muni, and I had employed the best, the most advanced professors available in the whole world to guide me. The best, most influential, highly educated priests who knew the Vedic literatures in and out. They were highly qualified PhDs and they were instructing me how to perform these rituals. I performed all of my duties perfectly according to the best of my capacity. And then suddenly you are coming up and saying that all these things are bogus. And if all these other priests also knew it, why they never told me? They should have also told me this before. So this is a very interesting point, that all of us have gone through a system where we have not been completely ignorant. We have been educated about different aspects of life. We have been given instructions about various duties, various activities, various types of dharma in school, in college, in society, at home. But before we come to the Krishna consciousness moment, before we met the representative of Srila Narad Muni, our life was also like that of King Prachini Barahishad. Performing various kinds of activities ritualistically, those who are more fortunate were performing those rituals according to the Vedic understanding, and others were performing the rituals based on social pressures. But ultimately, none of us had any idea about the essence or the sar of life, because we had not met the Paramahamsas, those who could discriminate between the essence and nonsense. And hence, all of us were continuing our lives complacent in the belief that our life is on the right track, completely oblivious to the fact that we were on the fast track to hell. And somehow, by the good fortune, by the causeless mercy of the Lord, Narad Muni's representatives, they have accosted us, stopped us, they have shaken us out of our complacency and forcibly, somewhat, given us this process. And then gradually we realize that we are being saved from inevitable destruction, an eternal damnation in hell for millions and millions of lives. Therefore, Prachini Barahishad's story is our story. He had royal priests and we had various kinds of teachers, professors, either in school, college or at home or amongst relatives and friends, each one claiming to be showing the right path and leaving all of us thoroughly confused. So therefore Bhagavatam says, Nehayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirtha pada sevaya jivan na pi mrtopisa. Na ihayat karma dharmaya. So all of us are performing some karma, some activity. Someone is performing activity as a grihastha, as a brahmachari, or as businessman, as professional. One must act in this world. But if your activity, karma, does not lead to dharma, nehayat karma dharmaya, your profession, our daily duties, our performing some kind of activities in this world and taking up responsibilities in this world does not lead to dharma, nehayat karma dharmaya, and that dharma na viragaya kalpate, and that dharma does not lead to renunciation. Because so many people may claim that what we are doing is dharma, and they may say work is worship, my karma itself is dharma, so I do not need any other dharma apart from this. But the test of such dharma is that dharma must lead to vairagya or renunciation from activities of sense gratification. Nehayat karma dharmaya. So all of us were performing activities before coming to ISKCON, and we were also following various types of so-called dharma. But the proof that we were not on the right track was that none of these dharmas or karmas was leading to viraga or vairagya or renunciation. We could not give up any of the other bad habits. We could not give up watching movies or magazines or tea, coffee, all kinds of sense gratificatory activities. Na viragaya kalpate. Only when we came into the right association, then we realized that we are now following the right dharma, because now there is vairagya. But that viraga, that vairagya must ultimately fructify into na tirtha pada sevaya. If the karma does not lead to dharma, and the dharma does not lead to renunciation, and the renunciation does not fructify into devotion, na tirtha pada sevaya. And that must ultimately result in devotion. Dhananjay Prabhu brought one disciple, Pundarik Das, to Prabhupada, and he started explaining to Prabhupada that here is a very special devotee. And Prabhupada said, what is so special? And he told Prabhupada that this devotee has learnt all the 700 shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita, and we want him to give a demonstration to you. So Prabhupada looked at him and said, engage him in some practical devotional service. Give him some service. Because unless he does some service, he is not going to realize what he has learned. Therefore, that is the ultimate essence, that we have to engage in service. So if that knowledge and that renunciation ultimately does not inspire us to increase our service to the Lord, then jivan api mrtopisa, such a person is considered to be dead, although living. Jivan api mrtopisa. So therefore, in this verse, King Prachini Barhishyat is wondering, how is it that so many priests gave me so much of knowledge, but I never got to know this essence? Because this essence is only revealed by those who are coming in the disciplic succession of great souls. And one who is not in connection with this will not be able to understand the essence of the scriptures. Therefore, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Sri Chaitanyam Prabhum Vande yat padashraya viryata sangrihanat yakara vratat agya siddhanta sanmanin. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Mande, yat padashraya viryata. Viryata means power and potency. Only when we derive the potency and power of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yat padashraya viryata, when we accept shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then by the power of that lotus feet, by the potency of His divine mercy, sangrahanati akaravratat. So akaravratat means multitude of Vedic scriptures which are compared to mine. So we have coal mine, iron ore mine, various types of mine. Mine means it's a place where that object is available, it's a source. Coal mine means it's filled with coal. Salt mine means it's filled with salt. So akaravratat means it is a mine of knowledge. It is a mine of all scriptural verses. So that is the Vedic literatures. So Vedic literatures are compared to a mine which is filled with knowledge. All types of knowledge. So sangrahanati. Now if we have to collect from that mine, and from the mine you get all different types of things. So from the diamond mine you will collect diamond, but initially when you are collecting, sometimes you also collect stones along with the diamond. And then later by doing the sorting, you separate the diamond from the stones. So mine is filled with all types of things, and it requires a very expert person to be able to select and sort out only that which is valuable. So sangrahanati akaravrata. So if you enter into the mine-like Vedic scriptures, you will simply get in contact with all kinds of knowledge. Some may be transcendental, others may be totally mundane, because it is just a mine. But then only the very fortunate people are able to collect the diamond from that mine. And therefore, such experts are very, very rare, and they have to be highly qualified. A person who is not experienced and is not trained, he cannot enter into a diamond mine and collect the real diamonds and separate it, sort it out from the stone. By Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, when we enter into the mine-like Vedic scriptures, so one may feel that only the most intelligent, highly qualified person will be able to sort out the diamond. But sangrahanati akaravratat agya siddhanta sanmanin. So even if you are agya, or ignorant, foolish, not highly educated, agya, no previous background of anything spiritual, having spent the whole life in mundane activities, having no knowledge of language, having no previous exposure to any scriptural rules, siddhanta san manin. So the actual real siddhanta, the ultimate conclusions of the Vedas, which is pure devotional service, which is compared to manin, the jewels, the diamonds, that can be collected even by someone who is a fool, who has no previous knowledge, who has no understanding, if he receives the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yat padashraya viryata. So that is most important. that one is unqualified and foolish is not important, but whose shelter we take, that is important. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Mande Yat Padashreya Viryata. Therefore, we are very fortunate because we are coming in the line of great acharyas who are giving us that mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, even if we have been misguided, we have been misled and given all kinds of other knowledge before coming to Krishna consciousness, but by the mercy of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we simply follow this process, we will develop the discrimination, the ability to collect these diamond-like realizations of pure devotional service from the mine of Vedic scriptures. So that is most important to understand. So therefore, Madhavendra Puri, the great Acharya in our line, he has written a wonderful verse where he practically rejects all types of leaders, all types of teachers, all types of guides he has seen and experienced in his life. And he makes a firm commitment to simply worship the lotus feet of Krishna and no one else. And in this verse, he rejects six types of various guides and teachers or so-called knowers of the truth who profess to know more than what pure devotees can understand. So Madhavendra Puri says, Mugdham mam nigadantu niti nipuna bhrantam muhur vaidika bandham mandava sanchaya jadadhiya muktadara sodara unmattam dhanino viveka chatura kamam maha dambikam moktum na kshamate manak apimano govinda padas praham. So this is a very beautiful verse. And just like Narad Muni is imploring King Prachini Barihishat to give up all these other priests and those who were against pure devotional service, Madhavendra Puri in this verse is rejecting all these categories of people. Mugdham mam nigadantu niti nipuna bhrantam. So he says, first of all, there are the sharp moralists who may accuse me of being illusioned. So there are various people who claim to be moralists. Moralist means they dictate, this is right, this is wrong. This is the proper conduct, this is the improper conduct. And they are known as moralists. And they may look upon devotees and say that what all of you are doing is not correct. This is not right. And they may accuse that the Hare Krishna movement, you are not following the proper codes of conduct. And therefore they claim to be dictating the morality. But Madhavendra Puri says, Mugdham mam nigadantu. Let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusion. So when Prabhupada was establishing the Krishna consciousness movement, there were many so-called people, moralists, who were saying that your Hare Krishna movement is not correct. It is immoral because it is taking the children away from the parents. And this is a very immoral act because you are breaking the hearts. And this is not correct. You are not doing your duties. And then there were so many cases. And there were cases of brainwashing. And Prabhupada would only say one thing. There is no question of brainwashing. First of all, you need to have a brain. Then we can wash. So what we are doing is we are brain giving. In France, when Prabhupada was preaching, that time there was a lot of opposition. And there was one very prominent psychiatrist. And he took upon himself the responsibility of creating some reform. And he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he told many of the children's parents that, I will try to change this person. And he came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he felt that Hare Krishna movement was filled with people who were little off. And so using his psychiatric techniques, he can cure them. So he came and he was waiting for Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came along with some disciples and both of them met each other. And the psychiatrist looked at one disciple who was nearby and pointing to Prabhupada, the psychiatrist said, is he the patient? And Prabhupada told his disciple, tell him, he is my patient. He has to understand what is the goal of life. You have to understand what is ultimately the real duty towards Krishna. And this fight between these categories who are claiming that you are breaking apart society, this is immoral, and the Hare Krishna movement was going on. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada, in the sixth canto purports, when the pastime of Narad Muni and Haryashvas that comes, and the Daksha's sons are told by Narad Muni to go to the Himalayas, Daksha becomes angry. And he accuses Narad Muni of being in total illusion. And he says, what you are doing is immoral. And in that then he accuses Narad Muni that because you did this to me, drove my children away from my home, I also curse you that you will be homeless. You cannot stay at any one home for a long time. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that following in the footsteps of Narad Muni, when I am spreading Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, many people are also very disturbed with me. And many parents of children, it seems, are very angry and cursing me. And because of that curse, I am not able to stay in any one temple for a long time. But now I pray that on my behalf, following in the footsteps of Narad Muni, may my disciples take that curse upon themselves. So they continue preaching and I can stay at one place and finish the task of writing these books. So the sharp moralists who have their strange ideas of what is right, what is wrong. And Prabhupada says that these things are relative. They keep changing according to time, place, circumstance. There are no absolute standards. Just like I was reading the other day, the whole concept of good, bad, socially acceptable, unacceptable keeps changing as time progresses. Nowadays, in the West, if someone sports a tan, the skin is tanned, then that is considered to be very fashionable. And people spend thousands of dollars getting a tan. So you have to sleep under the sun for several hours. So many times when the sun doesn't come out, people stay under lights, artificial lights, and artificially get the tan. Why is that so? Now for Indians it may appear to be strange because we are naturally tanned. But what that means is, this person has so much of wealth that he doesn't have to go to work, but he spends his whole day relaxing on the beach surrounded by beautiful girls. And as soon as someone sees a tan, that is the message he gets. So even if someone is working really hard, but still if he wants to show that actually I am very rich, and he wants to put up a show in front of others, so he gets a tan and he moves around in society and people feel, he's having a tan. He must be really a very wealthy person. And this is the kind of image which people are trying to project now. But 200 years back, when the farmers would be working in the fields in England, they would be getting a solid tan because of working in the sun. And therefore, the only people having tan that time would be the farmers. And that would indicate that they are farmers and they are working really hard morning to night and do not have any rest at all. So what is considered fashionable now was 200 years back not fashionable. And at that time, if you did not have a tan, then it meant you are aristocratic, that you do not have to work in the fields. So with time, the things change. What is considered fashionable, not fashionable, good, bad, everything changes. So here, Madhavendra Puri is saying that we are not concerned with these relative conceptions. Mukdham mam nigadantu. Let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned, but I reject them. Niti nipuna bhrantam muhur vaidika. Let the experts in Vedic literatures and Vedic rituals accuse me of being misled, he says. So when you take to Krishna consciousness, those who claim to be experts in Vedas may sometimes claim that you are not on the right Vedic path. Where in the Vedas it is said only Krishna? So many gods have been mentioned. You are all misled. You are not following the right path. So then we find in the 10th canto that the Brahmanas' wives, they were more advanced than the Brahmanas. Because the Brahmanas, they were following all the Vedic rituals perfectly. They had made all arrangements for the yajna properly. But when the main time came for offering to Krishna and Balram, they missed the essence. And then Krishna and Balram sent the cowherd boys to the Brahman Patnis. And the Brahman Patnis immediately gave all of that offering to Krishna and Balram. And along with that, they also followed. Nishidhyamana Pativir Bhratribir Bandhubi Saha Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Dirgha Shruta Dhritashaya. So at that time, the relatives, Nishidhyamana Pativir, their husbands, who were experts in Vedas, they stopped them. And they said, this is not Vedic. What you are doing is not Vedic. This is not the way to act. What we are following is Vedic. We were ready to perform the yajna and we stopped because the time is not right, the offering is not yet made, hence it cannot be given. So they were still attached to their stereotype Vedic misconceptions. But the wives, they did not hear this. Nishidhyamana, they were stopped. The husbands were experts in Vedas, they stopped the wives, do not go. But Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Dirgha Shruta Dhritashaya. They gave up all of these ideas in spite of the fact that they were stopped and they were being accused that you are not following the proper Vedic path. They still went and surrendered to Krishna. Why? Because Dirgha Shruta Dhritashaya. They had heard about the path of pure devotional service and surrendered to Krishna from the right sources. And therefore, we may find that when we follow the Krishna consciousness process, when we are in the Hare Krishna movement, many people may claim to be experts in Vedas, and they may accuse that you are not following the path properly. But actually, we are under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, a Paramahamsa Acharya and his representatives. Therefore, one does not care for the nitty-gritties of the Vedic rituals, but one is concerned with the essence. Prabhupada was in Amritsar, and some of his Western devotees, Prabhupada told them to chant Ishopanishad. And they were lady disciples, and they were chanting Ishopanishad verses. And then somebody from the audience got up and objected, and he started saying that their pronunciation is not proper. And Prabhupada became heavy. He became like fire. And he got up and immediately shouted, you do not have even a fraction of the devotion which they have. So what right we have to accuse them of not having proper pronunciation? Do you have such devotion? Do you have such surrender? They are doing all that. That is the most important thing. And Prabhupada would always defend any accusations which would be made, because he understood the essence. And therefore, all these other nitty-gritties were not so important as the ultimate principle of taking shelter of Krishna. And therefore we find that India had so many scholars, so many born brahmanas, so many people who knew the Vedas. But then a spiritual revolution could only be created in the whole world when a few people, they surrendered to a great soul. When they surrendered to Prabhupada, all over the world there was a revolution. And therefore Prabhupada made a very interesting statement. He said, one of the functions of the Krishna consciousness movement is to polarize the devotees and demons. That is one of the functions of ISKCON. That as soon as, when you are on the street, you are in the trains, you are in the city, everyone looks same. Everyone is well dressed, moving about, very busy. So everyone appears to be normal person. But as soon as you give a book in the train and then you see the reaction, immediately you know it is attraction or repulsion, like a magnet. So you know, as soon as you show the book, by facial expression, by his words, you know what is going on inside. Some people will immediately grab, some people will even say, where were you for so many years? Some people will say, why you did not come? And others will say, why you came here? Why you have disturbed my day? So Prabhupada says, unless you chant Hare Krishna and push Krishna consciousness on others, you will not know whether he is a devotee or demon. Vishnu Bhakta Smrita Deva Asurastad Viparyaya. Otherwise, without this, everyone will act as if they are great souls, as if they are following some religion. But this is that test. And so Prabhupada was saying that one who is not following Krishna consciousness, he is a demon. So one devotee said to Prabhupada that if we call such people demons, they will never come to Krishna consciousness and they will be repelled. And Prabhupada said, unless you know they are demons, you will not advance in Krishna consciousness, because you will try to follow their footsteps and consider them to be role models. Therefore, for you to advance, you should know. And Prabhupada another time said, so many times in our practical dealings, we are meeting with politicians, leaders, and then we have to shake hands with them, talk with them nicely, and speak so many things. And this is all we are doing to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, because these are all required for practical dealings. But within the heart, we must be convinced they are all rascals. We must be convinced that they are demons. But if we call them demons, they will become angry. But we should know, if they are not practicing Krishna consciousness, they are like that. So the devotee said, is there any hope for them? If they are not practicing Krishna consciousness and they are demons, so how to make them devotees? So Prabhupada said, yes, there is one hope. If somehow they are induced to chant Hare Krishna, number one, and number two, if somehow they render some service in some way, then there is a chance that even such demoniac propensities can be reformed. So therefore, Bhrantam Mohur Vaidika, those who are following the Vedic rituals, they may claim the Hare Krishna devotees or devotees to be misled and not following strictly the Vedic path. But actually, that is not so. We are following the ultimate essence of the Vedas. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami and all the other Goswamis to search out evidences from the Vedic literatures and establish pure devotional service on the basis of Vedic evidence, so that all these people who claim that we do not have a bona fide, authentic foundation, they can be rebutted. And so, one instance of Prabhupada was having DT installation ceremony at Hyderabad. And because it was south and Prabhupada wanted to create an authentic touch and at least please the local people, so he called some Vaishnavas, free Vaishnavas from south with big tilak, and they were all chanting the various mantras and doing all the proper rituals. From the time Prabhupada entered, Prabhupada came to Hyderabad, from the time of receiving Prabhupada they were chanting mantras. Even for receiving Prabhupada, even when Prabhupada would go inside, they would chant different mantras. And Prabhupada is impressed, said, "You got a good group of very authentic, bona fide Brahmins. I'm sure the local people will be very happy." And then as the installation ceremony progressed, they did all these other things. And then the last part of the ceremony was a huge kirtan. So throughout all of these ceremonies, none of the other people were able to understand what mantras were being chanted and what rituals they are doing. But in the end, Mahamsa Swami and Hansadutta Swami, they started big kirtan. And all the devotees and all the local people started dancing. And then as this kirtan started reaching a crescendo, the leader of this Brahman, he also raised his hands. And he also started jumping up and down. And seeing the leader jump, chant and dance, all the other Brahmans who had come for chanting mantras, they stopped their chanting of the mantras and started chanting Hare Krishna and started jumping up and down in the kirtan. And then Prabhupada was very pleased to see. And Prabhupada said, "This is the perfection, that they have understood the essence, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this most wonderful principle of Harinam Sankirtan in this age. Otherwise, all the other rituals are very difficult to follow." Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted sannyas in the Shankara Sampradaya, because at that time the social convention that only Shankara and sannyas in his sampradaya was bona fide. So Lord Chaitanya didn't want to disturb the social convention. He wanted the people to accept what he is doing. And therefore he accepted in the Shankara Sampradaya, so people could see he is bona fide. And then they were ready to follow whatever he said. And what he said was, Shankara is nonsense. That what is philosophy, Mayavad, is nonsense. So in this way, ultimately Srila Prabhupada also established temples, gave us lot of other things to follow. But Prabhupada said, ultimately our temple is, our movement is centered around Harinam Sankirtan. So therefore, Madhavendra Puri says, the moralists may accuse me, the Vedic ritualists may accuse me of being misled. Mandam bandhava sanchaya jadadhiya muktadara sodara. Friends and relatives, mandam bandhava sanchaya, they may call me frustrated. That you have come to Hare Krishna because you are frustrated. Friends and relatives may accuse like this. Actually, normal people don't go to Hare Krishna movement. Only there, when there is frustration, you go. So definitely you are going to these programs means there is some frustration. So like that, there may be accusation. But actually speaking, like one time someone told Prabhupada that material life, Krishna consciousness is so difficult. And Prabhupada said, material life is impossible. Life in this material world is practically impossible. And only when we take shelter of Krishna, then gradually one gets the strength to live in this world in the right direction. So friends and relatives, they always want that we should all be with them, follow the same path. And so we find that Hiranyakashipu had employed Shanda and Amarka. And Shanda and Amarka were constantly giving instructions to Prahlad. And all the relatives and friends, they were all wondering what Prahlad is doing. And Hiranyakashipu, he also could not understand how Prahlad is getting all this strength. So Shanda and Amarka, they actually felt that maybe there is some problem with Prahlad. But then Prahlad told them that Swayam Akarsha Sannidhau Na Tata Vidyate Chetas Chakra Panirdrichaya, that actually that I am attracted to Krishna is not surprising. What is surprising is you are not attracted to Krishna. That is surprising. Why? Because it is the nature of iron filing to be attracted to magnet. And Krishna is like the all-attractive magnet. But then I am wondering how you are not being attracted. So that was Prahlad's response. So friends and relatives, they may always feel that something is wrong. And seeing that, the parents get bewildered. And parents have to hear all that, what friends are saying, what relatives are saying. And they will keep telling us, why you are going to Hare Krishna movement? You go, but don't go for so long. At least don't go on Sundays. That is the day when relatives come. That is the time when we have to go on some social outing. So full day and night, you are sitting and chanting this. So like when our Sankirtan Prabhu joined the ashram, so his mother wrote an article in one newspaper saying that there is a very strange society in Chowpatty, and all engineers, doctors, CAs, they are sitting and doing just bhajan throughout the day because their lives are frustrated. So there was an article like that in a Marathi newspaper. And there was one person who read that article, and he was thinking, which is this place where there are so many engineers, doctors, CA sitting, all professionals are sitting at one place and doing something, let me go and see what they are doing. So just by reading that article, he came and he met devotees. He met Sankirtan Prabhu only and showed him the article, your mother's article I read and I wanted to meet you. Said, what makes you sit here and chant all day? And then later he became devotee and he's in our accounts department, Ram Kelly. So now he's collecting cash from devotees. So just by reading that, and many times in society it is perceived, college student takes to Hare Krishna movement, so other friends may think, maybe last semester marks were not good. Better have some special coaching class. Why are you going to that class? This is not going to help. Mandava Bandhaya Sanchaya Jadadhiya and Muktadara Sodara. So the relatives inquire from brother, from the closer family members, and ask the brother, what happened to your younger brother? What happened to your elder brother? And he says, he has become mad. So brother may call me mad. Muktadara Sodara Jadadhiya. So my brothers may call me mad. Like Vibhishan, he wanted to surrender to Ram. And Ravana could not figure out with all his 10 heads that what is behind this whole proposal. I am ready to give him the whole Swarnim Lanka. A huge entire city of gold is available, and he wants to leave me and go to that human being who is moving around with monkeys. And therefore, many of our own brothers cannot figure out that leaving so many aristocratic family members, so many people with position and power in society, this fellow is leaving and joining army of bald monkeys. From their point of view, it appears a different species only. That is, whole Hare Krishna movement is a different species, with strange clothes, strange dress, strange ways of doing things. Muktadara. So therefore, the brothers may feel he has become mad. He has become factually mad. Like that. And at higher levels, Prabhupada said, even my god brothers could not understand many things what I was doing. Because what Prabhupada was doing was, he was exactly following the instructions of Srila Saraswati Thakur, and there was difference of opinion regarding what he was doing. And therefore, if you have to execute pure devotional service, then not only people of this world, but even in society of devotees, one's actions may be perceived sometimes as crazy. Muktadara sodara. And then, unmattam dhanino. So, unmattam. Unmattam means that dhanino. Dhanino means someone who is very rich, wealthy. So wealthy Mammonites may consider me to be a fool, that he could be working so many hours, and so many hours he could be utilizing for increasing his business, increasing his prospects, increasing his wealth, and giving up all that, he's spending time just chanting Hare Krishna. Why? Recently a boy from IIT, he went home for, he's finished his B.Tech, he went home, and immediately after going home, there was this Pandav Nirjal Ekadashi. And he told, I'm not going to eat or drink. And he's coming from a big aristocratic family, they are like marble kings, they have business of marble, they have their own mines in Jaipur and all that. So the parents got bewildered. Father spent the whole day with a glass of juice, running behind him. And then he started making all kinds of theories why he is not drinking. And he went back 10-15 years before, that maybe something I did 15 years back or 10 years back when you didn't get good marks in this exam, I said like this, is it because of that? So he took out all the history, trying to understand the psychology, why he is not drinking. And he can't figure out, you never were like this. So one full day, even night, at least you break the fast at night. Normal people break at night. What kind of fasting is this? It goes on till next day morning. And then he just tried to convince them, but they couldn't get convinced. And then finally they resolved themselves that maybe this is something he's doing. But they were just requesting, do not give up this business. You have to continue the family business. Don't do this too much, otherwise you'll go there. So wealthy Mammonites, they think that any progress on the path of devotion means giving up prospects for economic development. Right? And they expect that you should work like anything from morning till night. Giving 2 hours for meditation means that is considered criminal waste of valuable precious time. So unmattam dhanino viveka chatura kamam maha dambhikam. And there are many learned philosophers who may claim to be experts in philosophy, and they may think this Hare Krishna movement, they think they know too much. They call the devotees proud. That you think you are too proud. You think you are all knowing. Any argument we give, you just answer with some shloka from Gita, some shloka from Bhagavatam. And so and so Maharaj said, so and so said, so and so said. And when ultimate nothing works, Prabhupada said. So this is your philosophy. So you think you are too proud. You are all knowing. Kamam maha dambhikam. So like Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was given all the prospects of enjoying the kingdom. And here was Vamandev standing and asking, requesting, please give me these 3 steps of land. And Shukracharya telling him, don't give. So as soon as Bali Maharaj heard that Shukracharya telling don't give to Vishnu, he started thinking, why is telling don't give? And then he figured out that if all the Shastras ultimately conclude that one must give to Vishnu, why is saying, Guru Rapi Avalapta Karyakar Ajanata Utpata Pratipannasa Parityago Vidyate. So Shastras describe that if a guide who has been a guide so far in matters of our daily life, but he deviates from the path of pure devotion and does not give us the right injunction about surrendering to Krishna, parityago, such a so-called guide should be rejected. So Bali Maharaj gave up Shukracharya, and that was perceived by all the other demons that He is rejecting the greatest philosopher, the greatest guide, Shukracharya, who knows what is right, what is wrong, and Bali Maharaj thinks he knows more. But because he was devotee, he was only concerned with surrendering to Lord Krishna. And in this way, moktum na kshamate manak api mano Govinda padas praham. So Madhavendra Puri says that moktum na kshamate, although all these categories of people may force me to surrender to their respective whims, but I will not surrender. In fact, I will try to fix my mind on the lotus feet of Govinda only at any cost. Although I am finding it difficult to do it. Although I am having difficulty, but still I will not give up my attempts to surrender to Govinda. And I will not pay any heed to the opposition to all of these personalities and the so-called knowledge which all of them are giving me, which is opposed to pure devotional service. So Giriraj Maharaj explains that Srila Prabhupada established this mission only for that purpose. Hare Krishna movement is like a magnet. You take it in a bunch of sawdust and iron filings, the iron filings will get attracted. That is all. And therefore, he says, Srila Prabhupada established Hare Krishna land and he gave it the name Hare Krishna land. Giriraj Maharaj says that previously he had only heard of one land, and that was Disneyland. And in that, the center was mouse and duck. So when he heard that Prabhupada has, generally all over the world, Prabhupada established temples by the deity's name, London Ishwar, Paris Ishwar, like that. But in Juhu, he established the name of the project, Hare Krishna Land. And so he understood that the whole center of attraction is Hare Krishna. And that is Srila Prabhupada's mission, to create a society, a place where Krishna can be in the center. And as soon as Prabhupada tried to establish Hare Krishna land, there was opposition. You could see polarization. And as Srinathji Prabhu very well knows the story, Mr. N, he was creating a lot of trouble for the devotees. And then one day Giriraj Maharaj was walking by Metro Cinema, going for life membership collection, and suddenly he saw on the sidewalk a newspaper. That was the Free Press General, which belonged to him. And on the front page there were headlines, A.B. Nair is dead. And Giriraj Maharaj says he felt like putting the suitcase down and jumping up and down in ecstasy. Then he felt that people will not like to see this kind of response. But still he was wondering within the heart, am I having the right emotion that I am feeling happy to hear about a demon being destroyed? And he was confused about this. He's very thoughtful. Anything happens within, he just analyzes why this is happening. So then he came back and he heard that Prabhupada had been informed in New Zealand that Nair is dead. At that time Prabhupada just folded his hands and thanked the Lord. And then the devotees in Hare Krishna land had gone one step ahead and distributed sweets. And when others had told Prabhupada about this, Prabhupada said, okay, all right. He didn't say no, he didn't criticize, he didn't say anything. He was just neutral. So when Giriraj Maharaj heard this, he understood, okay, this is also all right, bona fide, that when demons are destroyed, one can rejoice. As even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, that when those who offended Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they were destroyed, I will now explain that wonderful, rejoicing narration. So in this way, he understood that part of the Lord's pastime is to attract the devotees and to destroy the demons. And that is what the Hare Krishna movement does. Polarize the devotees and demons and make things very crystal clear. Nothing is hazy. And then, this was not sufficient. So Nair, he had some more people assisting him in his mission against Srila Prabhupada. And one was the local municipal councillor, that was Matre. And there was another neighbor in Hare Krishna land, his name was Mr. Rani. And he was some kind of a mystic person. He had a house exactly opposite the Hare Krishna land. And he would conduct some night sessions at his house with candle lights and all that on the garden. And many big aristocratic people would attend. He was some kind of black magician. And he was also against Srila Prabhupada and Hare Krishna land. And he was very close friend of Mathre. So after Nair's death, when the municipality, they attacked the Hare Krishna land, all of you know that story. And they started breaking down the buildings, the shed over Radharas Bihariji. And Giriraj Maharaj went inside and got the permission that, see, here is the stay order, here is the permit for construction. But nobody was willing to listen. Those who had come from municipality, they were catching hold of devotees, putting them in their van. Giriraj Maharaj was arrested. There was another devotee called Jagannivas. He was arrested. And then there was this pujari, a lady pujari, Maithili Dasi, and she was trying to protect Radharas Bihari, and they had already broken the roof, they had broken the ceiling, and they were now about to break the steel pipes, and they had brought blow torches. And at that time, as they were cutting that steel pipes with the blow torches, this Rani and Mathre, they were standing outside. And as Mr. Rani, he saw this blow torches and the fire cutting this steel tube, he started laughing loudly. And there was another devotee, her name was Gandiva Dasi. She had a mother who was also a devotee and she was staying in Hare Krishna land. So she saw Rani laughing, seeing that this thing is being cut. And she gave a curse to him, that just like you are laughing when you are seeing this fire destroying this shed, one day you will also get destroyed by this fire. And then of course, somehow they phoned up Bal Thackeray and things happened and nothing went ahead. Somehow that was saved. A couple of weeks after that, morning Mangalarti was going on and devotees heard a loud shrieking sound. And when the devotees came out, they saw from the opposite door, Rani was coming out running and his whole body was in flames from top to bottom. And then immediately, somehow they tried to put out that flame. He was shrieking loudly, shouting at the top of his voice. It was like a moving mass of flames. And then he was put in ambulance and before he could reach the hospital, he died. And what had happened was, he had tried to do some black magic on the Hare Krishna land. And because of Prabhupada's potency, that black magic had failed and it comes back to the person. And he had gone crazy. And therefore, early in the morning when devotees were doing Mangalarti at that time, he poured kerosene on himself and set himself on fire. And in this way, he also died. So, another demon destroyed. Then this was not sufficient. There was demon number 3. And that was one local MLA. His name was Mane. And his name was Tembe. Mr. Tembe, MLA at that time. And he was a close friend of Mathre. So what they did was, they came together and decided that let all the life members come together and take over ISKCON. And they made a whole plan. So in the next life members meeting, they spoke against the devotees, saying the devotees are not able to manage ISKCON, they don't have any proper resources, they don't have intelligence, they are careless, they are this, that. So life members, we should take over. And then they made all their plans and they started signature campaign and all this. The next day, Tembe was walking from Sachivalaya. And as he was walking from Sachivalaya on the road, suddenly he collapsed on the ground. Nobody could figure out what happened. He had a massive heart attack and he died. So demon number 3. And then there was one left and that was Mathre. And Giriraj Maharaj was asking Tamal Krishna Maharaj, the person was done maximum damage is this fellow, but nothing is happening to him. Other smaller demons are getting killed. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, don't worry, Krishna says in Gita, for one who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. So, sure enough, after a few days, because he was a very corrupt person, and there was some nearby school, municipal school, where he was having some illicit affairs with the teachers. All these things came out, and he was also collecting bribes from people. And one day the devotees heard a big sound of tin drums being beaten. And the devotees came out and saw a big morcha. And that morcha had a big photograph of Matre and a garland of chappals. And they were all shouting against Matre. And then they made police complaint against him. And then he was forced to leave Juhu and was never seen again. And then Giriraj Maharaj could understand that Krishna has his ways of somehow dealing with all demons in due course of time. And so he could really appreciate Prabhupada's statement that Krishna consciousness movement actually polarizes the devotee and demons, and you have to make a choice. Either you have to be here or there. And thus we see that anything short of pure devotional service is rejected. And so Madhavendra Puri is also rejecting in his own way. All these so-called guides by any mundane standards would be considered worthy of worship, or even that may be considered to be bona fide, but from the point of view of Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, pure devotional service, that falls short and that is rejected. Therefore, dharma pra-ujjita kaitava. So pra-ujjita means, ujjita means kick out, and pra-ujjita means perfectly kick out, and pra-ujjita means it also includes impersonalism. That is why pra-ujjita is used. Any form of impersonalism is also kicked out by Srimad Bhagavatam. And only the ultimate yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihita niyatma suprasidati. The supreme dharma, occupation of the soul, pure devotional service to Krishna, is the only acceptable standard. And so our King Prachini Barhishat, he is also bewildered by this, that Narad Muni, what you are referring is something very high standard, pure devotional service, and I had so many teachers, so many gurus. Shrutam anvikshitam brahman bhagavan yat abhashat naitat jananti upadhyaya. So many upadhyaya, so many teachers taught me so many things, but kim na bruyu vidu. Yadi, if they knew these things, why they didn't tell me? So that means we should know that only those who are following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepting the power of his shelter and taking guidance from his devotees, only they will understand. And even if one may be big upadhyaya and he has all these upadhis, but he does not take shelter of Krishna's devotee and becomes servant of the servant, all this knowledge will remain hidden from him. So in this way, our Maharaj Prachini Barishat, he is clarifying his doubt from Narad Muni, and Narad Muni will continue explaining to him why this happened. Srila Prabhupada ki, thy God Premanande.